Michael?
Mom, I'm right in the middle of something. Get rid of the C word.
I'll leave when I'm good and ready.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 116, featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and everybody's favorite internet creepster.
So, this feels like a thing we need to just address because it's just one of those things that we would look at. There's apparently a new Star Trek resort being built in.
Awesome! Is it? Oh, good.
Hold in your enthusiasm. Please hold all your enthusiasm for the end.
Till the end of the tour.
It's being built in Jordan, the country of Jordan. Which
not awesome.
If you look at a map, no. go to the east part, and then maybe sort of the middle part of that. It's maybe a place that we as you know Americans might not be entirely welcome. But there's Star Trek there, so.
Oh, no,
well, as a Canadian,
you know, I'm sure we'll have a blast. Everywhere.
I'm looking forward to going.
Yeah, we will have a blast, yes. Is that one of your hilarious puns?
Maybe.
Now, do you if there are, you know, terror, I don't even know, Jordan might be fine, I don't know, but if there are terrorists there, do you think they'll use, like, phasers and the, I don't know, warp bombs or some damn thing? I don't know.
Well, if they do, I think we'll be safe for the next couple hundred years, at least.
Not doing anything until we can actually invent those things.
Well, I assuming some crazy scientist didn't sell them a shoddy phaser casing full of used pinball machine parts. I think we'll be all right. No, but apparently,
of course, you know what I mean. That with all the money that they're throwing at this, they might be going for complete authenticity. So you never know.
Yeah, they might be creating warp and phasers and transport. Hey, transporters.
That would be pretty sweet.
We wouldn't have to fly to Jordan. That would be a thing.
Maybe that's what they're counting on. Well, look, the Americans will want to come. We'll beam them over.
I gotta say.
Involuntarily, if necessary.
I guess. Get away from that awkward TSA cavity search.
Yeah, no kidding. No,
they can just beam anything out of you if there's anything in there. He's got a gun up his ass.
What was it? I don't think this was anyone, like, one of our jokes. I think I read this somewhere. But didn't someone say the transporter would be great for, like, transporting waste out of you? Was that a Penny Arcade? Yeah. I can't remember.
I think several people have said
that. I've heard that too.
Ah, very well. that seems like I don't know, maybe a little bit of a frivolous, you know, use of that. Whereas beaming to the Star Trek resort, on the other hand,
A-okay. About that.
Yeah. Now I'm looking at this drawing and I'm reading the description, and apparently they're going to model it after the Abrams movie, the 2009 movie, which we all love. And you know, apart from the requisite lens flare joke that we all made independently. I don't really know. Like, there's not that much there.
No, I'm surprised.
It's going to be a bunch of white surfaces and bright light shining in your eyes.
So, yeah. An Apple
store. It'll be like going to the Apple offices.
Yes, exactly. Or the Apple store, pretty much.
Yes.
So you're saying that we all have to line up outside for 18 hours before it opens?
Only if you're
bought. Yeah, exactly. But the geniuses there actually know how to make the engines work.
Hey, genius. Can you look at my phone, genius? It's not working.
You're holding it wrong.
Oh, sorry. I was using my iPad the other day. I there's no way I can say that and not sound like a douche. So let's just get that out of the way. And I'm using this drawing program just because I got a little stylus because there's some cool like things you can do with the drawing on a touchscreen. And I finish and I do the erase function. And it pops up a little thing and says, next time you can just shake the screen.
What?
So
you bought a $300 Etch-A-Sketch.
Yes, I did.
I love that the iPad is actually incorporating Etch-A-Sketch technology.
Yeah, I was really impressed. And I haven't looked, but I'm sure there's probably an app that simulates, you know, the vertical and horizontal knobs.
Oh, there's got to be. If there's not, there should.
Crack the thing open, it's just full of sand.
You were one of those kids, weren't you, who just cracked the thing open?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see how the magic worked.
I had a friend of mine, it was Famous Mark's little brother, Adam, actually, who he opened up his magic 8-ball to see what was in there. And it's this blue liquid, but it's this blue liquid that permanently stains. Anything you get it on will be blue forever. Which is, Yeah.
So now every time he walks into a bank, they kind of look at him funny.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you know, he's got handprints on the wall. It looks like the Bluth house. It's just not fun. He's like, yeah, I should not have done that. I regret that instantly.
See, I always figured if you cracked open something like that with such mythical power, it would spirits would fly out like the Ark of the Covenant.
Anger the gods.
Yeah, exactly. Except instead of angering the gods, it'd answer all the gods' questions.
Well, signs point to yes, I guess. But looking at this resort, really, again, there's no real, you know, there's not a whole lot of design aesthetic apart from, you know, like you guys were saying, the shiny, you know, touch screens and all that stuff. There's that shitty bar that Kirk got in a fight in, I guess.
Yeah.
Where Uhura ordered, among other things, a Budweiser. But really, do you need to fly all the way to Jordan to do that?
Come on over to
Jordan. I can go just down the street, order a Budweiser, and get in a fight.
Yeah, exactly. You know, maybe
for
not
free.
Maybe not with aliens, but you never know.
Well, illegal aliens. I live in Southern California.
Ba-dum-bum. But yeah, I really don't see.
The worst part is that after the bar fight, then a dude comes up and dares you to do better at your life.
Oh, man.
Which is just depressing.
Yeah. I thought I was going pretty okay. What's the?
What are you, my dad? Fuck off.
Your dad was a captain of a starship for 14 minutes.
I wish.
Top that.
I would. I think I would know that.
My dad sold tiles for 14 years.
My dad was a surveyor.
My dad was a rock.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, listen, Dave and I and a group of friends, pretty much all people who have been on the show at one point or another, I think we've talked about this before, made a pilgrimage to the Star Trek Experience in Vegas when it was there, and that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gone now. So, I mean, I guess this is all we got.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's every once in a while a story will pop up how they're going to any time now reopen the Star Trek Experience in Vegas at a different location. Although the most recent story I found about that when I was looking around before the show was in May of last year, they sold off a bunch of props from the Star Trek Experience in Vegas.
Including Rom.
Yeah, just well,
drag him off the stool.
Didn't get much for him. No, they gave him away with with the highest, you know, whatever the highest bid item was. They threw that in as a bonus.
A free Rom? Oh, I don't want that.
I'm looking forward to living in your house.
Oh, for some reason, I thought you meant Morn.
Oh, no, that would be awesome.
I know the difference. I just, for some reason, my brain registered Morn.
No, they didn't auction him off. He was just there.
He comes with the bar.
But yeah, so either they're completely redoing it to make it look more like the Abrams movie, or it's a dead thing.
The thing is, the best designs for a Star Trek-related like bar would be either Quark's or Ten Forward, and neither of those things, as far as we know, really exist in the Abrams, you know, in the rebooted whatever. Yeah. So
you got to figure, I mean, it's the, we're, you know, behind this and standing to make some money off of this.
Yeah.
Star on the rights, and they're going to be pushing their new properties. They're not going to be.
Yeah, but the whole thing about Star Trek is you're buying into something with all that history, and now you're in a situation where you can use it or not use it as you see fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're looking at that as a fan. They don't care. They don't, you know, these are money people. They're not necessarily interested in Star Trek at all.
Okay,
but other than as a product that they can get money out of.
Yes, but as a money person,
advertising opportunity for their new products.
But as a money person, you can sell one DVD or you can sell 50 DVD box sets. You know what I mean? There's only one movie. There's only one product. Unless you look at the long history and you realize, wow, we can make action figures of all these guys again. And we can, you know, remaster these in HD like they've been doing. And, you know, there's a lot of money to be made in that old stuff still.
You know, I just
kind of think they're looking at this as a promotional opportunity for their next thing that they're spending money on.
Yeah, that next movie that'll be out anytime, right?
Right.
Anytime now.
Uh-huh. Checking my watch. You can't hear it.
J.J. Abrams finishes up with every other movie in Hollywood.
And the thing is, the stuff he's working on actually looks interesting. Like, I think that Alien movie he's got coming out this summer looks all right, and I think whatever he's got next looks all right, but come on, man.
The script is being written presently, unless it's been finished, but on the Nerdist podcast, they had the guy who's writing the script. I can't pull his name right now.
Guys, Orky and Kurtzman, those two guys write a bunch of stuff together, and then one of the Lost guys is helping them now.
Yeah, it was the Lost guy.
Lindelof or Hughes,
yeah.
I don't remember which. Yeah, but the thing is, they're giving conflicting reports in various media outlets. Like, some of them are saying, oh, no, it's done. We're just waiting for JJ's input. And some of them say, oh, we have a treatment, but we haven't actually written the script yet. And, like, I've read in reputable sources both of those things.
It's like, would you guys just fucking write the script?
At least agree on a lie, if nothing else.
You're killing me over here.
Yeah.
You're killing me.
I'm getting Star Trek blue balls.
But your lines of exciting Star Trek.
What's that? Oh, well, yeah, there's the...
You know, you guys are doing the season 3 of the original series on your other podcast.
Yeah, that's...
That's got to be thrilling.
Yeah, that's riveting stuff over there.
Listen, when you cut us the bumpers you do for reading the titles, I'm amazed you didn't fall asleep reading the titles. It's getting rough over there.
And Requiem from the...
I'm like, wow, there's a lot more. I got to live up to the enthusiasm he did this read with. There is no way. You're like, Plato's stepchildren. Whoa, I would not. I would not sell that one like that.
Well, I could re-record that. You know, it's like, well, that's Plato's stepchildren.
Yeah, there you go. but as far as like... fantasy playgrounds based on beloved properties go. Apparently, the Ghostbusters Firehouse is for sale now.
Ugh,
and everyone assumes Matt will want to buy it and live there. I guess I don't know.
He's selling as many parts of his body as he can spare.
You only need one arm, right?
Yeah.
Very well. Yeah, the pole does still work, and. What else? The building needs to be condemned.
Well, I mean, it needed to be condemned back in 83. I can't imagine how it looks now.
What about the containment system? Is it still powered?
Can I see the storage facility? Yeah.
I hear the magic word.
What is the magic word? It's sad when I think, I look at that movie and I think, who do I look like? Oh, I look like Walter Peck, don't I? That's sad.
Oh,
this red beard ain't doing me any favors. But Matt, really, if you could have that thing, would you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. If I could have it, open up like a Ghostbusters museum, watch it slowly go out of business,
and then say that line. It's a sign, all right. Going out of business.
Going out of business.
Yeah, you pretty much cover. You would obviously hire a Janine.
Oh, of course.
Because that's your lifelong ambition.
How could I not?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, madam. You're not nasally enough to work here.
No. I'm pretty nasally, though.
Well, yeah, I need you to nasal it up by about 30%.
Here, can you...
How's that do it for you? There you go.
Can you stuff this wad up your sinus cavity? There we go.
Give me the bug eyes.
Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of sad. But, I mean, really, what are they expected to just keep it, like, empty? I mean, it is New York City. Things are kind of at a premium there. Well,
I know, but I'm hoping, like, the city will recognize that it's kind of an important thing.
I don't know. I mean, the library is already there. I mean, me and the ex-wife were up on a trip, when we were still together, so some time ago now. But we're walking, and she just stops and looks. I'm like, what? It's a library. Oh, that's cool. And it's just a library. Like, there's nothing special about it. But
I mean, I know.
It's so obviously the library from Ghostbusters. So, I mean, that movie's very New York. There's a lot of stuff there that is just always going to be, you know. And really, what is that firehouse from the outside other than a brick building with the Ghostbusters sign?
It doesn't even have the Ghostbusters sign because up until recently, it was a functioning firehouse.
Right, exactly. So, you know, really, you're not going to get anything touristy out of that.
No, I still want to go there, though.
Well, of course you do.
I'm going to go to New York and take the Ghostbusters tour.
Is there that? Well, of course there is.
Well, I mean, I know you can He'll download like a podcast that's like a walking tour of New York.
Right. We need to, next time you guys are out here, we need to do the Twin Peaks tour because they shot a lot of that in a town nearby here. And we know enough people now that could actually, no, unfortunately not.
Aw.
But, we know enough people now who are into that who might actually enjoy it. I went up there foolishly one day. I thought I could just drive around and spot things. I didn't bring any kind of directions or any kind of anything. I just kind of drove around, and yeah, not so much.
The only thing you saw was that bird from the opening credits.
I saw a traffic light.
Oh, wow.
That's a famous thing, right?
Sure.
All right. I don't know. Was it like 3 a.m. and it was still going?
No.
Then probably not.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, as long as we can stop somewhere and get some damn good pie.
pie isn't damn good enough. I was promised damn good pie.
I mean, it's pretty good, but it's not.
It's adequate.
It's damn good. I don't know that I'd call this damn good pie. And then, of course, speaking of Ghostbusters, there's also the requisite porn parody that everyone thinks, well, everyone thinks Matt needs to know about, but they also tell me, and,
Well, apparently, Matt uses they need the to tell you so that you'll tell me.
Matt considers the regular Ghostbusters movie porn, so it's kind of superfluous.
Yeah, that shit's hot, man.
Also, you got Sigourney Weaver, you got Janine. That's it, right? I mean.
There's a chick that played Gozer.
Okay. And I guess you got that weird Ray gets a blowjob from a ghost bit.
I assume that's what the entire movie is, or the entire porn is based around.
That's fair. Except apparently we've been told that Slimer is anatomically correct. So.
Ugh. That was an image I did not need to see.
But you saw it.
Oh, no, I saw it.
Yeah. On purpose.
You guys know, according to Rule 34, somewhere out there are people who are into that. So.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Rule 34 is based around, enterprising internet people creating that stuff. Not a professional studio with access to, like CG technology to make it look, as good as
what
it did in the movie.
What actually looks like a fairly good budget.
Yeah, I mean, anyone can sketch it on a cocktail napkin and scan it in for the internet, but this takes it to a whole different level.
Like, the costuming in that is surprisingly good.
Oh.
So they're right not just before wearing, they take it off.
They're not just wearing sexy Ghostbuster Halloween costumes, then.
No. I've talked about how those infuriate me.
So they're already a step above that Wonder Woman pilot that didn't get picked up, which...
Yeah, basically.
Where Wonder Woman literally looked like she was wearing a sexy Wonder Woman Halloween costume.
Somehow still okay with that.
Yeah. She needs a little dignity. I don't know what to tell you. You got plenty of sexy superheroes. You know. If she's going to be your main one, like Batman, Superman, and her, maybe
stick
put some
pants
on
her.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe some pants. Our friend Dewey actually did a little drawing, and I'll link to this if I can find it. What he thinks Wonder Woman should look like. And I thought, ooh, he recreated the whole suit, like, from scratch. And no, what he did was color in her legs red, as though she's wearing pants. That's really all she needs. Just a little bit of dignity, that's all. Just, Dave, are you opening a beer over there?
Not necessarily.
No.
What fine beverage are you enjoying for the people? Because we all know now that you're a beer snob, so let's...
It's a Budweiser. No. Oh, I've got some Stone Brewing Russian Imperial Stout.
Very nice, I assume.
2011 vintage. Good stuff.
Well, all right.
Good year.
All right.
Yeah.
And on that note, Dave has begun his break early, so we will now let the rest of you take a break, and we will be right back.
Hello, I'm Michael Emerson. You probably know me as the evil genius Benjamin Linus from Television's Lost, but I'm also known for my incredibly jovial personality. Ask anyone in the cast of Lost, I'm the funniest guy in Hollywood, a real cut-up. And it is on that note that I address you today. Did you know that thousands of people each year are born without a sense of humor? For reasons that medical science is at a loss to explain, their brains are incapable of processing setups, punchlines, innuendos, or even that lowest form of comedy, the pun. The signs are evident enough, constant repetition of phrases that receive laughter when spoken by other people, earnest attempts to codify humor into some kind of logical structure, laughing at anything Flonk does. Humor deficiency disorder is a serious condition. Only with your support can we eradicate it and create a world in which everyone is as vibrant and good-natured as me, Television's Michael Emerson. You can tell it's really me because I said my own name twice. Thank you for your time.
And now it's time for Spanish lessons with Juan D.
Mi vaca sonríe.
My cow smiles. This has been a Spanish lesson with Juan D. Next week, he will teach you another one.
And
oh, that was a great break.
Yep. It's still most of your beer there, though, strangely enough. What's that all about? Shouldn't you
he's
be
savoring it?
Chugging or well, I don't see. I don't know beer etiquette. I'm out of my element there. Is it? I just
look,
assume
this,
it's all
this
like
were
Animal
a
House.
Pabst Blue Ribbon or whatever the hipsters are drinking this year. you know, Coors. Then yeah, you could chug it, but you know, I savor good beer because I like to taste it. I know my beer is good. I don't need to tell you my beer is good. I'm the one who buys it. I know it's good.
We really can't be dealing with you being a hipster right now because you need your hand on the microphone and you can't be air quoting over there. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Plus, we'll be having the other Zioko calling up to pick fights with him.
Oh yeah, she's leading the front on the nerds versus hipster war. Which I got to say, I'm pretty much a fan of.
Yeah, it's a noble goal.
It is, and we support it. Like if this show made any money whatsoever, we would throw some money in there, but we don't. Incidentally, just a little sidebar, real quick here. As we record that, it is early June. It is the first week of June. Emerald City Comic Con 2012, which we have pledged to have a table at and you know have appearances, hopefully a live show and all kinds of fun stuff, is the first week of April 2012. You can already buy tables for it, and they will probably be sold out in a couple of weeks.
Oh shit!
Just play. No, we're good. We got it covered. But
oh, okay, cool.
It's just 10 months ahead. Like I got plans, but after the last one, I wrote some stuff down. I said, okay, we could do this. We could do that. You know, I had some ideas, and we brainstormed. But really, 10 months ahead, we gotta have the shit figured out. That's just that's a little crazy, I think.
Hey, you're dealing with professionals here, okay? They need to. They need planning. They need organization. They need money.
Yeah, they need money. Yeah, we got to get that store going again.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, okay, so we got some mail here from our old pal Irene. It's a bit long. Fortunately, we have someone who's used to reading very long sentences here. So, Dave, if you could.
Take it away, Matt. Oh, me. Very well, then. Dear Al, dear Matt. I am writing to you today to warn you and the listeners of your lovely podcast about a dire threat to my immortal soul. If you're surprised to hear that I possess such a thing, let me assure you that I was as well. You see, the devil is coming to get me. How do I know that the devil is coming to get me? Well, let me tell you a very short anecdote. The other night, after finishing off the last of Mike Carey's wonderful Lucifer comics, and in an example of getting way far ahead of myself by thinking about my PhD before even finishing my master's thesis, I posited the idea of possibly writing said doctoral tome on the devil. I became quite enamored of the notion, actually, enough so that when I was talking to my mother on the following day, I may have mentioned that I was considering this topic. And here is where things began to go awry. "It's a good idea, as long as you don't get scared," she said to me. I laughed. "Scared of what, Mom?" I looked amused. "Of the devil, of course. You'll need to wear a crucifix. You'll need protection." A stunned silence met these statements as I scrambled for a way to carefully explain that I don't necessarily believe that the devil exists in anything but a metaphorical sense. Needless to say, it was awkward. The moral of the story, though, is that the devil is coming to get me, my friends. This fact, of course, will not surprise most of you, as we all know that the devil and I would have had a smashingly blissful relationship, at least for the year or two before it degenerated into a brutal ego contest interspersed with passionate bouts of reconciliation. But I thought I should warn you all regardless. After all, if the devil is coming to me, it's only a matter of time before I send him to your very doors. Be afraid of the devil, my friends. Yours in damnation, Irene. In some insane twist of the universe, you are listening to this podcast. Please know that I'm vaguely sorry for using your fear of the devil to amuse my friends. If you want to buy me an ornate gothic cross and have it blessed by the religious official of your choice, I will not try to dissuade you, provided that the cross is gaudy enough. PPS, if you're the devil and you're listening to this podcast, yeah, right. Please note that I like books, staring longingly at the sea during winter storms, the quiet of dusk, jewelry made with black diamonds, and mornings spent in bed while someone recites the poetry of Percy Shelley to me in a loving tone. PPPS, guys, the devil is really coming to get me.
All right, a few points here. First of all, Dave, I know you scoffed there, but the devil does listen to this show because we've received emails from him, and he responds to specific content from the show.
Yeah, he's a regular listener.
The devil needs to, maybe donate a couple of bucks, and
that would be lovely. Going. We got a table. We got other things to worry about. But no, I think
Matt's got a soul. We can sell him.
Oh yeah.
No, I don't.
Oh wow. What'd you do with it?
I traded it for a Coke back in high school.
Was it a good Coke? At least was it like a glass bottle?
No, it was a can, but that was all I really needed.
A can of Coke.
Was the Coke cursed?
Did it contain potassium benzoate?
A little, but it was a Coke. You expect that.
I want a Coke, Daddy.
So I guess the takeaway here is that Irene's making the devil come.
Yes.
Moving on.
I'm not going to dignify that with a proper drum fill sound effect either. I'm just going to leave your mouth making the drum fill. I just like the idea that her mother's taking her aside and telling her she needs protection. She's talking about a crucifix.
I think it's hilarious that her mother is afraid of the devil.
There are people. This may shock you as a Canadian, I suppose. Maybe it's just an American thing. There are people who believe that, God is good and the devil is bad. Those,
I'm sorry, could you please just say that there are people who believe in the devil?
There are definitely people who believe in the
devil.
Oh my
God!
Lots and lots of people who believe in the devil. Apparently you've met one of them.
We're going to get
letterbombed. I don't think that we are.
I'm going to get letterbombed.
Yeah, that's fine. Matt can be reached at P.O. Box 666, Pueblo, Colorado.
Matt@robotham.com.
That's probably an actual guy.
Well, you'll be in for a surprise.
Well, we should warn him about the devil.
We'll send him a picture of a crucifix.
That works, right? Just a picture?
Yeah. As an attachment.
If the crossing the fingers things works, then the picture's got to, right?
I don't know. That's vampires, though.
I guess that's true.
I don't know if the devil's scared of crucifixes, honestly. I mean,
wouldn't the devil just turn it upside down and be fine?
Yeah. He'd just, turn his head so he could look at it the other way.
That's great. He just walks around, gets a crick in his neck, and gets really annoyed.
Look, the only thing scarier than the actual devil is the devil coming at you on his hand, upside down on his hands.
The devil doing
then his kilt falls down and he... Yeah.
Oh, God!
Or he gets his horns stuck in the ground. That's not cool. No, I mean, he used to live in heaven, right? Like, he's not gonna care about any of that stuff. Well, then again, if somebody showed me something from Southern Maryland, I'd probably cringe.
So, here, Al, here's some...
stuffed ham. That was a thing. Ham, which is a block of meat, a solid block of meat. Somehow they found a way to stuff it. That's a real Southern Maryland thing. That's where I come from.
Cutting edge of ham technology. Ham tech.
So glad I left there. Not cool.
A subsidiary of Pork Enterprises.
Honestly, mostly what I remember about Maryland is, one of the times I came to visit you, we ate at some little, some kind of truck stop diner type place.
Oh, yeah.
And the waitress, is bringing our food and, the same plate, same hand she's holding the plate with, she got a cigarette between her fingers.
That's tobacco country, Dave. I mean, that kind of stuff tends to happen. No, that was the
same. By that time, California is really, anal about all that kind of stuff.
Well, California was ahead of the curve, but everyone's gotten on board now.
Right. So, we were, one of the first places that, passed all these smoking bans. And so, restaurants have been smoke-free for freaking ever now. So, just just going over there and just seeing people smoking in a restaurant was like, wow. Mm-hmm. The waitress bringing the food with cigarette in hand was like, really?
Well, it was that very same restaurant that had on the menu. This was just a punctuation error, but it still provided no small source of amusement. Your choice of meat, bacon, or sausage. I'll have the meat, please.
Wait, what kind of meat?
It's meat.
Just generic meat.
Yes. But we're getting off topic here. The devil.
Garnished with cigarettes.
Smoky.
So the devil, apparently. See, I that was my initial reaction, was that Irene would probably hook up with him, and she's already covered that, so.
Yep.
I'm not really sure. I don't know. I'm just amazed Matt is not aware that people actually think this.
I... It, I mean, I guess in an abstract form, I believe, like, I realize that people believe in the devil, but it's just ridiculous. It's the fucking devil.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Like what? Like a red dude with horns and a pitchfork?
Yes, and a tail. And
oh my god!
Sometimes goat legs, depending on who's you know.
Cloven hooves, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't look. Do you not have a south in Canada?
Apparently, you know, he's also gay and in love with Saddam Hussein. But
yeah.
Sources vary on that.
That changes from time to time.
Yeah, I buy it. At a great Sweet 16 party.
It was fabulous.
Where's it going to go? Detroit? But yeah, you know, people believe crazy things, Matt. You'll be shocked to learn that the world is filled with people who believe goofy shit that you don't believe.
Yeah, man, I mean,
in fact, you
understand that people believe in the magic sky man, right? I mean,
for some reason, that makes more sense to me than the devil.
Okay, let me put it to you this way: there is a girl in our Twitter circle who has been on this very program, who I would say you're fairly acquainted with, who thinks the world is going to end all the time.
I know.
How is that any different?
Well, I mean, the world is going to end.
Not in the way she thinks it's going to end.
No, but I mean, not because the devil.
It's
going to
end in a J.J. Abrams reboot.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be recreated so much better.
No, parallel timeline.
Yeah, that's
it'll be exactly the same as it is now, but no reality shows.
Oh,
God, please, if only.
Yeah. I'll take it. Sold.
Good enough.
Wait a minute.
And this guy rains donuts.
Except we don't have the word for that, so.
Well, that's Al's version of hell.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, that's just, you know, and again, that's not even me taking a dig at, here's a spoiler, I was talking about Mal. but that's not even really a dig at her, it's just people believe crazy shit. That's just, you know, it's all perspective, man. I mean, Pitchfork. People believe that guy exists.
I guess.
And if you're not good, you're going to go see that guy.
Good idea. Pitchfork you.
Yes. With his pitchfork. I guess
welcome to eternal torment, mortal. Poke, poke, poke.
You're going to help me bail this hay, right?
Through all eternity.
I'm going to be served as the meat. All right. I mean, if nothing else, Matt, you do realize that he did go down to Georgia, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay, you're fine with that. You think that song is real.
That's just another reason to not believe in him. He challenged Charlie Daniels to a fucking fiddle contest.
Oh, no. He challenged Johnny.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Charlie Daniels just showed up to watch.
Charlie Daniels
write
told
a song
us the
about
story.
Yeah, Johnny came to him and said, Charlie, tell my tale.
Yeah, exactly.
Spread it across the land. People must know.
People need to know about
the turn the fiddle.
But then Charlie Daniels got greedy. And he said, I'm going to tell the story again. The devil went back to Georgia. Nobody
cares. How the hell we go back to Georgia?
He's been there once. Isn't that enough?
I hear it's
maybe
cheaper
he missed
when
the,
you go back.
Peach cobbler or something.
I nice airport. That's really all I know about Georgia. So I won't. Actually, I don't even know if that's true anymore. I came through there when they had the Olympics. I think it was like 96.
Oh, the devil went to the airport. He was looking to catch a plane.
And then he ran to the TSA and he got, you know, uncomfortably groped and he never went back.
Yeah, there is no devil went back to Georgia.
Well, you can get groped, you can go through this thing. I don't want naked pictures of me floating around. All right, well, come over here. Nice goat legs. Grope, poke, poke, poke.
Is he at least wearing a loincloth or, you know?
I don't know what
I always picture him in a kilt for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Like a utility kilt, not just a regular one.
Well, of course. He's one of those big, gross, bearded guys who you see at cons who, like, ladies are always swooning and saying, oh, guys are sexy in kilt. Yeah, but sexy guys aren't the ones who wear kilts. It's always the big, gross neckbeard guys.
Yep.
Or Satan. That's it. Those are the choices with kilts.
The last time I was at Comic-Con, they had a utility kilt booth, and just for a moment, I was tempted. I can't explain why. I don't think I would ever have worn it, ever.
I think they would be comfy. I really do.
I'm sure they would. It's, you know, and, guys got a lot of room to breathe down there, but.
And sure.
Ethnically speaking, I would be at home in one. I don't think, you know, I think maybe if I lost 50 pounds and shaved off my facial hair, maybe, but not.
But then
not
you would
as I
be
now.
Big gross neckbeard guy wearing a kilt.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd be an outlier.
It doesn't. Stop it.
Guys, apparently I'm in the minority here, but I just like pants, you know, in case my genitals quite effectively.
I'm all for, especially if it gets really warm. I'm for something a little more breathy, a little more, you know, like I'm fine with that. But you know, no, just no on kilts. No. Ask your mother. but no, we were talking about this. The devil went back to Georgia and realizing that. Song sequels.
That is such a weird concept to me.
This is something I've looked at occasionally and is like, how is this a thing? How do people demand part two to anything?
I mean, I guess I get it.
Well,
you know,
like song
a song
that's really
does
popular
well.
That people love. I mean, they want
they
more of it.
They're crack at it.
Yeah, but they listen to the artist make a different song. You don't just make a sequel to it. I mean, that's like, what if the beloved song Friday? What if that chick made, you know,
Saturday.
Yeah.
Got no school today. Pouring my cereal. Next, watching cartoons.
Yep.
Next comes Sunday. Monday. Tuesday.
Yeah, it could effectively be the same song.
She's got
song.
Six more hits ahead of her.
Yeah. And then, you know, well, no, never mind. I was going to say on leap year, but no, that's not how that works. Thank you, brain, for that. No, I don't know.
Tilsday.
But there's, you know, there's like, what is it, like, Let's Twist Again?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
we didn't twist enough the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that the one with the Fat Boys?
No, that was just the twist with the Fat Boys.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
As opposed to the twist with the Addams Family.
Although that, in a way, was a sequel of sorts, because those guys did Wipeout with the Beach Boys before, and they're like, ooh, oldies, let's do another one.
But I mean, that's still not a song sequel. That's just doing another oldie.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are kind of standalone. It's kind of like the porn parodies.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. But really, I mean, do you need? Well, oh, never mind. I was going to say, do you need a sequel to porn parodies? But of course you do. Every porn I've ever seen is part 9 or part 14 of something.
Oh God, what could be better than the Ghostbusters porn part 2?
Oh God. Well, then you have Vigo.
I am covered in. Why am I covered in Zagoo?
Yeah. And of course, the giant dancing Statue of Liberty is now having sex.
Yeah, yeah. With the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
So basically, it's a bukkake porn.
so much marshmallow fluff.
Oh,
it's just horrible. Yeah. On that note, I think we're going to take another break.
And now, as part of their court-mandated community service, Al and Matt present an educational trip around the world with Sarcastic Voyage International.
Welcome to Sarcastic Voyage International, a new segment where we present interesting and accurate facts from countries all around the world. Today we've received an extremely special privilege. Matt is going to be interviewing the president of Serbia.
This is the president of Serbia.
Yes.
He is a giant two-headed falcon.
Yes.
How is a giant two-headed falcon president of Serbia?
That the people of Serbia are in many ways different from us. This is what this segment is supposed to show.
It's looking at me, Al.
You're offending him and embarrassing me. Get in there.
Sorry. Mr. President, I... Oh, Jesus! Get off! Get... Hey, help!
Mr. President, you are causing a diplomatic incident.
Get off me!
Mr. President, this really is... Ah, God damn it!
It's trying to peck out my eyes!
Oh, for crate here. Well, Matt, force me to kill the president of Serbia. I hope you're happy.
This has been Sarcastic Voyage International.
And we're back with some mail. And not at all talking about Ghostbusters porn anymore.
Just get the mail out.
Yes. You hear me, young man?
Get the mail out. It's going to be a lesbian porn.
Ah!
Stop it.
Actually, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's all right. All right, first one comes from our pal Jeremy, and he writes, "Hi, Alvin and the Chip Bats.
Ah!
I was listening to your recent podcast where a listener asked what Mario power you would like best. Yoshi was briefly mentioned, but was not considered a power. Look, I don't know about you, but if I had a trained dinosaur that would eat anyone I didn't like, I'd say I had superpowers. Sure, mentally controlling dinosaurs without the need for complicated harness system of dino riders is a superpower. And if I could pick any power from Mario, I'd want not just any dinosaur I control with my mind, but a flying dinosaur that I control with my mind. So there. Now a question. What is the coolest fictional dinosaur? My head says Godzilla, but my heart says Grimlock." Guys?
I'm pretty pro-Godzilla.
Is he a dinosaur, though? I honestly don't know.
Like, hey, he's a mutated dinosaur, I thought.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I was never clear on what Godzilla was. I thought he was just some sort of
mutant lizard, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, they change it every few movies, but I think at least at one point he was a mutated T-Rex or something.
Okay, well, let's
sounds good to me.
Let's stick to something we know. What is Goliza?
Has that been settled?
He's a mutated something. I know that much.
I'd like to think he's unmutated. I'd like to think that's Godzilla before the bomb. And
you
then
know,
the
maybe,
bomb makes him cool.
Maybe he was one of those guys who dress up as Barney for a kid's birthday party and was bitten by a radioactive whatever.
Kid.
Yeah.
radioactive kid. That seems right.
A radioactive four-year-old.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Except
if it was at a kid's birthday, that would be.
And that's where the cake
vomit
comes in. Because, yeah. He was holding the cake.
We may have finally revealed the secret origins of Goliza.
Cracked the secret of Goliza.
Yeah. This hangs together.
Yeah, sure. As far as fictional dinosaurs go, I say the quote-unquote real dinosaurs, because we all know those didn't exist, because the Earth is only 6,000 years old.
Of course.
And I can't believe Matt doesn't believe in the devil based on that. All right. Also from Jeremy.
Well, if the devil was a dinosaur, like devil dinosaur.
That's a thing, isn't it? Isn't that?
Yeah, that is. That was an old Kirby. No, that was a Kirby character.
Oh, what am I thinking of then?
Actually, you know what? There wasn't. I think there was a Mr. Science Theater called Devil Dinosaur, now that you mentioned it.
If not, there should have been.
Yeah.
All right, our next one is from Jeremy again, and this is Dave. This is one of our never scroll down submissions that we do, but it's not really balls out goofy enough to merit the fanfare, but I think it still needs some setup here. So if you could take it away.
All right then. Oh yes, here's one from your stupid comments featurette. Remember that story you talked about with the mummified playmate? Well, who could forget that?
Oh, yeah.
One of the comments on the Baltimore Sun's website is pretty idiotic. The woman was found mummified in her house because she died a year earlier of heart disease and no one noticed. The comment is, "Such a sad story. I hope they found the killer who did this." Yes, sir. I too hope they find heart disease and arrest him for this heinous crime.
I will not rest until heart disease is brought to justice.
Yeah.
Look, he's been, you know, reaping a swath of murder across the country for decades now. And
the greatest serial killer in American history.
History's greatest monster.
The greatest heart trick disease. The greatest trick the non-existent devil ever pulled was heart disease. All right. Jeremy.
The greatest trick the devil ever played was convincing me that people believed in him.
There you go.
And by the devil, you mean Algar.
Yes.
Well, yes.
Obviously. That's why I had that goatee for so many years. I wanted to make it go pointy like a Satan goatee, and it wouldn't do.
We need to wax it, I think.
Wow. I'm not waxing my...
That's your answer for everything.
Just wow. You're trying to unload those crates of wax from when you were a wax salesman, and just... we don't want it, okay? It failed. Let it go.
Look, wax is a useful substance. It can do so many wonderful things.
They've all heard your pitch.
Dave, I've known you since 1995, and you haven't shut up about wax ever since. It's not even good wax. It's not even turtle wax.
Hey, customers are listening.
All right, potential
yak
customers.
Wax.
Yes, yak wax. It's hard to say. Hard to take seriously.
Hard to wax a yak with.
Yep.
It just doesn't work.
No. But he's got crates of the stuff in his house. I've been to his house. It's just crates and crates of wax. You know, it's one of those things where you sign up for it, and like when you're college aged, and you're like, okay, like I did the stupid sell cutlery thing, and I won't deny that was a waste of time, waste of money, horrible thing, but I got suckered into it, and I think he got sucked into the wax, door-to-door wax game, which is a bit of a pyramid scheme, but, you know.
Hello, madam.
You know, I wish that were the case because I would at least have some dignity. This was a, you guys remember those music clubs you could sign up for where you get a tape every month?
Yeah, the Columbia Record and Tape Club. I made that work for me, actually.
Yeah. And if you don't send them a thing saying, don't send me this, you get it and then get billed for it.
I gotcha.
Well, I kept forgetting to send the thing back. I was in the wax of the month or the wax of the month
right.
membership. I kept forgetting to send the form in. So,
but it's the same wax every month. It's not even like you have an assortment of waxes.
Yeah, it's it was not a good club to join.
But that is why you have all that felt now, because you're trying to convince us that felt is a good way to apply wax.
It could be.
Cancel each other out.
It could be.
All right, listen, I'm not gonna undercut your business here. You do what you gotta do.
I appreciate it.
All right, but however, I will say this: if you do end up competing in any way with Tidro, she will take you down, man.
Oh yeah.
Look, I'm not making little wax soaps.
Okay.
But, or little wax top hats.
Anything that covers the same ground as her, she will end you.
Look, I don't mess with the Tidro clan. Okay, I mean those people do not mess around.
They balls nasty.
They she'll send goons to your door with little tiny top hats on to talk to you. Break your knees. It's not pretty.
No.
Yeah, we hear you moving in on Boss Tidro's racket here. Well, you're no shame if something happened to all your wax.
it's like that whole boot camp situation in Full Metal Jacket. They take her little soaps that look like food and put them in a sock and beat you with them.
Yeah, little, you know, food shaped bruises all over your body. Look, this one's sushi. This one's a cake.
That one's watermelon. You can see the seeds there. All right.
The worst part is that the jelly donut he was hiding wasn't even a real one. It was a soap made to look like one.
Is that a soap shaped? Is that a jelly donut shaped soap in your Foot Locker, Private Dave?
I felt dirty, sir.
All right, next email comes from Richard, and he writes, "Dear sirs, on a recent podcast, you mentioned Matt's concrete donkey. Boy, does that sound like a euphemism, Matt's concrete donkey."
So hard.
This reminded
me. I think it sounds like a children's movie from the 1970s.
This reminded me of a game I used to play called Worms 2. You had teams of worms that tried to destroy each other in depraved and hilarious ways. Well, I'm down with that. Mm-hmm. There was the usual shotgun, Uzi, napalm, etc., but they also had banana bombs, exploding sheep, and of course the holy hand grenade. The most devastating weapon, however, was the concrete donkey, which would fall from the sky and destroy everything underneath it. When the worms would die, they would explode and turn into crosses, which after taking enough damage would, of course, also explode. The hours of sick fun, I guess that's what happens when you get raised on Looney Tunes. Christ in yours, Richard.
I've actually played that game, and it's a lot of fun.
Is it old? I mean, I don't know it.
I played it back in like the late 90s.
It sounds like it would have been around the time of like Lemmings. It sounds like a Lemmings type.
No, this is more recent.
Ah, okay then.
Yeah, like 1999, 2000 maybe.
Huh. Very well. Now I gotta ask if the concrete donkey that you have in your yard was at one point weaponized, if it was catapult fodder. Then presumably there's something underneath it that it was launched at. Have you ever checked under it to see?
Like, well, I mean, there's a big concrete slab underneath it, which leads me to believe that it landed on another concrete donkey.
Oh, so what you're saying right is out. What you're saying is it's donkeys all the way down.
Yeah, exactly.
Donkey on donkey violence.
No.
Well, what a shame.
Yeah, but they're the humanity.
That or it took out some lawn gnomes, which I gotta say I appreciate.
No, that would be totally okay.
You know, you gotta mule them from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
Oh, God.
All right, so our next email comes from Scott Sioko.
Scott? Hey, wasn't he supposed to be on this episode?
In fact, he was. We started a couple of minutes late because I had a late phone call from Mr. Sioko claiming that he could not be here. Apparently, it's one of his many, 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 many children's birthday, so...
He's got like 30 of them by now, doesn't he? Like,
well, she's usually pregnant. I know that, Mrs. Yoko.
There's at least three a month, right?
Matt, I don't. Someone needs to explain how that works to you, but that now is not the time or place. All I know is I like Scott's wife a great deal. She's often there when he's around hanging out, and but pretty much every time I see her, she's pregnant. I don't know what the deal is, but very fertile, that guy. And he has gone on about his super sperm. That is not my phrase. The Yoko super sperm, thankfully, is something he came up with.
First mentioned in Rapper's Delight.
But there's only 365 days in a year, so I mean, there's like a 1 in 5 chance that one of those is his kid's birthday. So that's just going to happen. Scott writes, "Would you, could you in a house?"
I would not, could not, here or there. I would not, could not, anywhere.
I'm allergic to green eggs.
I've never understood, and this is, I don't think this is an original observation at all. Are they green eggs, or is it green eggs and green ham? Like, does green apply?
See, the illustration makes it look like the ham is green, and
so it's green quantity eggs plus ham.
I believe so.
Okay, not just green eggs and normal ham.
Because otherwise, we'd be like, yeah, you know, I'll eat the ham, but those eggs look a little overripe.
Yeah. Unless they're platypus eggs, in which case green is exactly the color you want.
Yeah.
That just means they're that just means they've been aged properly.
Or perhaps are those Chinese 1,000-year-old eggs or whatever they call them.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Which I assume, you know, just a reek of sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
How could it not?
Yeah.
They're great if you dunk them in mayonnaise.
Wow. Actual gag reflex. Nice.
Gosh, I'm so hungry now.
Next one comes from English Gav, and he writes, "Dear guest," that's you, Dave.
Me? Woo!
"How do you feel at not being allowed to answer this question?"
Pretty good, Gav.
So our next email comes from Flonk. And he writes, "Dear Elmet and other, what is your favorite?"
I am not an other, first of all. I was part of the Dharma Initiative.
What is your favorite?
I don't get it.
You should, damn it. But, you know, you never do what I tell you. So there you go.
No, I do what you tell me. I just do it very slowly.
Okay. "Dear Elmet and other, what is your favorite way to prepare an envelope? Do you use a dry rub or a marinade? Manager of the Aussie Envelope Shack, Flonk." I do like that he signs his email Flonk, and then underneath that he signs it Kevin Lynch. In case you weren't sure.
Which Flonk is this? I know
Is this Flonk or is it Flonk 2?
Oh, is it Plambert? This could be Plambert. And that's no good. You don't win friends with Plambert. But yeah, Dave, you're a grill master, right? You know your way around an envelope. What...
Oh, yeah, well, I don't like to put a lot of seasoning on the envelope. I like to get the pure envelope-y flavor, because I figure, you know, you buy a quality envelope, you want to taste it. You don't want to, you know, bite into it and have a bunch of, you know, marinades and seasonings, you know, covering that up. But yeah, I just, you know, that grilling that first envelope of the summer is always the greatest thing.
That is the one thing, well, one of the many, many things, I say the one thing that I miss about having an actual house with an actual yard is I don't, here in the ghetto where I live in the horrible 1940s ghetto row house where I live, no grilling can really occur, but,
yeah. What's the last time you had a really good envelope?
Fry your envelopes, huh?
No, I mean, I have an electric grill, not a George Foreman thing, but something similar. I get the black lines on there. That's the important thing.
Those it's are just oh, sure. those stripes are, that are fried on though.
Yeah, but they're tasty.
Yeah, okay.
Delicious.
The black lines are what
there's nothing better, though, than you know, slapping a fresh, big, thick envelope on a grill, hearing that sizzle, you know?
That's
carving a little bit of the flap off to check on the dumbness. Dumbness. Yeah. The dumbness.
The dumbness.
The dumbness. I think you nailed it.
Personally, I think nothing's better than a breakfast of green eggs and envelope.
Now, is the envelope green, or I've never been clear on that?
It's a vanilla.
Or is it just the envelope wax?
I like how none of us are clear. Is it envelope or envelope? I better just say it both ways.
How about you, Matt? Spells it with a U.
Yeah. Can you chime in on this? I mean, I know you know you live at home. You don't do a lot of your own cooking, but do you have you messed around with the the preparation of envelopes. I don't want to leave.
I like my envelope. I like my envelope filleted.
You ever have them stuffed?
And completely raw on the inside.
I not like well like a stuffed ham. That's just weird.
Yeah. In fact, I stuff a ham into the envelope, and then I put that envelope into a priority mailer.
Ooh. Now you're talking fancy.
Yeah.
I mean that's the holiday envelope there.
I call it a Prienva ham.
Of course you do. All right. Our next one comes from our pal Din. Dave, I'm going to need your assistance on this.
Oh, well, my pleasure. Dear Sarcastic Voyage, I have a burning question slash request for your upcoming guest, Dave / Born Cycle. A lot of slashing going. Is this a slash fic?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
No. No, I don't need a salve for that. Please ask him to say and record the following for the intense pleasure of his listeners.
Now, hang on. She has specifically made intense and pleasure. She has emphasized both of these.
Good.
Using asterisks here, which I guess would indicate like bold or italics or something. So,
which just tells me that my bribe money was well spent.
Intense pleasure of his listeners.
My voice is ribbed for your intense pleasure. Okay. Ready?
Yep.
Animals are delicious. I love to eat them as often as possible.
No, that's not what it says.
That's what it says. No, I'm reading it right now.
Nope, that's not what it says.
Animals are delicious, though. You gotta admit that.
Yeah, but nevertheless, we are here to serve the listeners. Well, we are here to serve the listeners that we like. We're not here to serve people who decide to take that and twist it. But her, we are definitely here to serve.
Yeah, we are pro-din.
Yes. So please, read the phrase as written.
Very well. There is nothing I like more than a delicious grilled envelope.
Now, I think what we really want is to emphasize in July. Give one more try, Dave.
Look, you tell me that you find a way for me to emphasize in July, and I'll...
No, you won't.
Very well.
I'll grill envelopes for you.
Once more, from the top.
From the top? All right. Dear Sarcastic Voice... Or do I go all the way back to yes, hi, hello?
No. the other top.
Oh, okay.
The top.
I love you, dearest. You are precious to me.
Very well. That sound you hear is Dave blushing, I hope.
I don't blush. You're thinking of the other one.
The other voice guy? All right. Oh, and on that subject, look at this. Oh, we have another one. Requesting some voice action here.
What?
I will read this to you because there's a part that you've been asked to read, and so if you could read along. This one's from Marissa, long established fan of your pipes. And she writes, "Gentlemen, as a noted voice expert as well as president, treasurer, and social chair of Team Exasperated Narrator, suck it, Nick and Willikins." I am disappointed that Mr. Dave Fields has not yet recorded the unabridged audiobook of the Lord of the Rings trilogy I asked for years ago. Well, come on, Dave, what is...
I do not remember that request.
That should take an afternoon, right? I mean, those books are...
Oh, yeah, I could bang that out in no time.
Brief. In the meantime, I request, nay, I demand, that I read the following candied bacon directions for my listening pleasure on nights my husband is away at work. Standing by to swoon, Mrs. Brewtown. If you could, Dave, please.
Oh, as long as this doesn't make him show up at my front door with his 20-inch stainless steel expandable baton.
Well, yeah, you just wax it for him.
Yeah, I got some, that baton's looking a little dingy there. I got some great baton wax for you.
Order now.
Need a nice felt rag to rub that in with? Throw one in extra, no charge.
Next we can wax Matt's concrete donkey. Still not a euphemism. I mean that literally.
Matt, how often do you wax your donkey?
Oh, with a concrete donkey, this fine. You got to wax it at least twice a week.
Well, look, I can get you a bulk discount.
Look, I don't
I've
want
got,
any
I've got some donkey
wax.
Some
I paid
top quality donkey wax.
I paid handsomely for my bucket of concrete donkey wax.
All right, back on topic here. You've been asked once again to dance monkey. Give a reading on command. candied bacon.
Dear Mrs. Brewtown, preheat the oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Lay the strips of bacon on a baking sheet lined with a silicone mat or aluminum foil, shiny side down. Sprinkle brown sugar evenly over each strip of bacon. Depending on length, bake for 12 to 16 minutes. Midway during baking, flip the bacon strips over and drag them through the dark, syrupy liquid that's collected on the baking sheet. Remove from oven and cool the strips on a wire rack.
Okay, see, at first I wasn't sure if this was trying to be sexy, because shiny side down is kind of an awkward phrasing there. And then depending on length, I'm like, well, I don't know. And then, okay, dark syrupy, okay, obviously something's going on here.
I don't know what you're talking about. It looks perfectly innocent to me.
Uh-huh.
It's a recipe for candied bacon.
Yeah, you're thinking about
Marissa's. You've got to drag him through the liquid so that it coats the bacon evenly.
You're thinking about Marissa's wire rack now, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
As quickly as possible.
Let's now think about Ed Casey's wire rack. That did it. He says, looks like we only scratched the surface of this Smurfs thing. And he provides a link to some guy who apparently thinks that the Smurfs are racist because they once did a story where evil Smurfs were colored pure black. Yeah. I have nothing to add to this unless you guys...
I feel like that might be reaching.
I definitely think
it. A bit.
Yeah. I mean,
just a touch.
It's not like they have giant afros or, you know, like even the old adventure story cliche of the bone in the nose and the, you know, like Uncle Scrooge comics had that stuff in it and Tintin had it and, you know, mm-hmm. The Smurfs, I don't even think are admittedly racist in that same way. It ain't there.
So they're not running around with their pants kind of trailing down and listening to hip hop music.
I really don't think so. Although, we were talking about this before the show. I do think it might be fun at Next Emerald City because there was a lot of karaoke last year. If maybe we dressed up in blueface, which is the offensive way that you portray a Smurf, by the way, in blueface. And sang karaoke, not bothering to learn the lyrics, just substituting the word Smurf wherever appropriate.
Just a small-town Smurf.
Smurfing in a lonely Smurf.
He
I don't know if I want the Smurf Anti-Defamation League coming after me.
Oh, yeah. You think the Port Council is bad.
Oh.
Well, see, this article claims that Gargamel is a Jew, so presumably he's their lawyer, right? Hey, I'm...
Possibly accountant. Don't be okay. Racist.
All right. You're right. I'm sorry. Okay, next one comes from Mikey, who likes it.
He does like it, that Mikey.
That is his name now.
Mm-hmm.
He writes, Dear Al Matt and theoretical guest, I probably come down on the side of horses being okay, but ponies are pure evil. We had horses all through my childhood, but when I was little, we also had a pony that tried to kill me at least twice, for real. She was what Satan himself would have ridden. See, this guy believes in the devil.
The devil.
if he was comically small. Serious evil. Stay away from ponies. Completely unrelated, my first college roommate was quite a bit shorter than me and made up for it by talking a lot, mostly about how great he was. I think I married your college roommate. My secret ambition was to build a huge kite out of bedsheets and heavy wooden dowels, then tie him to it and fly him through and fly him 100 yards into the air. Do you think this would have worked? Should I regret never having done it? Take care, guys. Mikey, who likes it?
Hmm.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
I think if you ever get access to a time machine for some reason, you need to go back and correct that.
Yeah.
Box kites all around.
Make sure you tape it for us.
Yes, absolutely. And Dave can sell you some kite wax.
I can. You don't want, you know, it reduces friction because you know, you don't want any extra drag on that kite. You want to get, you know, make sure it gets as much altitude as possible.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, where would we be if Ben Franklin didn't wax his kite liberally before that rainstorm?
If he had waxed his kite properly, he wouldn't have gotten hit by lightning.
This is a good point. All right, final email comes from John Wiggins, and he writes, I've often heard you guys reference comedic gold. Does this mean that comedy is mined like felt, or just that comedy, the Shekions, are chemically attracted to gold particles? Comedy is indeed mined. Where are these joke mines? Have there been wars fought over such land enriched with comedy? Dave, you're a Shekion expert, so I think I should turn this one over to you.
Okay, well, first of all, I mean, the phrase comedy gold doesn't, you know, it doesn't refer to actually, you know, the actual yellow metal gold. It's kind of a euphemism. It's you know, when you dig up a mine that's rich in comedy, you find, you know, nuggets, mm-hmm. and people, you know, use the gold as a
metaphor?
Conductor?
that's the word I'm looking for here.
Bat?
Bat, yes. They use it as a bat. No. Oh. as an analog, just, you know, it's a you know, they're digging for something. They found a nugget of the thing that they were digging for, so they kind of just use that.
Sure.
Commonly, you know, gold nugget. It was a commonly known term, so they just kind of use the same,
right? Of course,
jargon basically. It has nothing to do with actual gold. It's just a nugget of comedy. There aren't really joke mines because, you know, the people who have the money to open a mine dug for actual gold.
And then they pissed it all away on Star Trek resorts.
You beat yes. me to it, damn it.
nobody's fought wars over this stuff because the thing is, everybody thinks that they're rich in comedy already. So they don't really place any great value in trying to acquire more. Most of these people are wrong.
Well, it's hardly like there's a scarcity. It's not like, you know.
Right. I mean, there is an organization that's going around the world trying to acquire as much comedy as possible. Doctors Without Borders. Because
right, like,
laughter is the best medicine.
As we definitively proved from that wonderful Robin Williams movie that was hilarious, where he played the funny doctor. You know, Patch Adams? That's okay. I was going to say Awakenings, but I veered off to the actual answer because that was funnier. All right. Dave, actually,
I still think the way to go is Bicentennial Man. Fine.
But he didn't play a doctor in that.
I don't care.
It doesn't work at all. Dave, I actually wanted to backtrack here a sec to the previous question. I glossed over the horse thing. I don't think you've weighed in officially on this whole horse debate. Do you have a side? Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you have anything?
Horses are dicks.
They're dicks, but are they evil?
I don't think they're specifically deliberately evil.
Like, are they malicious or are they just unthoughtful? Like,
no, I think they're just jerks.
Yeah, like, you know, that doesn't make them evil necessarily. It just makes them dicks.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So you're leaning toward Matt's side or Ed's side or, you know, whoever else is on that side, but you're not completely there. It's like a continuum. I got you. All right. Well, that is all the mail we have. That is all the time we have. Dave, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
And we're going to stop talking now.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is a co-production of Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of the co-producers and any featured guests unless otherwise noted. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2011.
Horses are evil.